We begin the show by focusing on our atmosphere and the critical air that we breathe. World leaders gathered in New Delhi this week at a United Nations meeting, their mission to find practical ways for countries to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, a key goal of the Kyoto Protocol, which goes into effect early next year. Greenhouse gases, of course, are blamed for rising temperatures and sea levels. Predicting the effects of global change, though, is never easy. But some scientists near Rhinelander, Wisconsin, are trying to do just that. As special correspondent John Barr reports in this week's Color Story, they've deliberately cranked up the level of greenhouse gases to see just how forests of the future will fare.
On a restricted site in northern Wisconsin, the hissing you hear helps scientists see the future.
This is an elevated CO2 ring.
Inside these towering rings of pipes, scientists are feeding trees what could be the atmosphere of tomorrow.
Our study, we're looking at what the forest will be faced with in about 50 years from now.
Carbon dioxide and ozone, which come from automobile exhaust and industry, are increasing steadily in the atmosphere, 1.5 to 2% each year. So various government agencies have created the Aspen FACE project, Free Air Carbon Dioxide Enrichment. The idea, to see how future forests will grow in elevated levels of greenhouse gases. Each time, project director Dave Karnosky surveys the 80-acre site, he's reminded this is a massive undertaking.
This is big science for us. There are very few places in the world where forestry can garner these sorts of resources for a huge experiment.
Inside the gas-enriched rings, researchers constantly monitor the forest canopy.
Okay. All right.
Why don't we go back into the canopy a little bit?
They measure photosynthesis.
We simply take a single leaf and clamp it inside of this chamber.
The rate trees convert carbon dioxide in the air to food.
And as long as the leaf is active, it's taking in carbon dioxide out of that airstream, and it's giving off water vapor.
They're even preserving individual leaves in liquid nitrogen so they can study their genetic makeup back in the lab. Nearly 50 different research projects are underway here. Ensuring that the right amount of carbon dioxide or ozone reaches the trees is no easy task. Scientists have to constantly monitor which way the wind blows and use that information to determine which of these pipes to open. That way they can ensure that the right amount of greenhouse gas stays in the ring. Each opening in the pipes is linked to a central computer.
And each of these little dots is one of the vent pipes. The dots that are in red are the vent pipes that are currently open.
Tons of liquid carbon dioxide and oxygen, which will eventually be converted into greenhouse gases, fuel the project. It's all led to some striking early discoveries. In rings where the trees are fed just elevated levels of carbon dioxide, it's a little like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well, as far as the plants are concerned, it's entirely a good thing. It's just like having more food on the dinner table.
Trees need carbon dioxide to survive, and here they get plenty.
One of the things that we've noticed with elevated CO2, at least early on in the canopy development, is that we have a thicker canopy. The leaves are a little larger in size, and they're a little thicker.
If trees can absorb much larger amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, researchers say that could reduce the impact the greenhouse gas has on global warming. But scientists fear too much CO2 could also be a bad thing, eventually putting strains on the ecosystem and hurting forest growth.
We don't know about long-term responses. That's still very much an unknown.
What's even more troubling to researchers, at least early on, is the effect they can see from the other major greenhouse gas, ozone.
With ozone, the responses are absolutely the opposite. They're mainly negative responses in terms of growth. We're seeing increased levels of mortality. We're seeing increased levels of insect and disease attack on these. We see injury both in the lower leaf surface and upper leaf surface.
Compared to the trees in the carbon dioxide rings, 10 times as many trees fed just ozone are dying. Many are being eaten alive.
The first effect is the air pollution. It's all the biotic stuff that moves in after that. It's the sharks that smell blood in the water, so to speak, that cause the real problems.
See this ladybug? It will eat 1,800 of these tiny brown aphids in a lifetime. Trouble is, ladybugs don't thrive in ozone. Plant-eating aphids do.
So the plant's having problems because it's got more things eating it, and it doesn't have anything to control the pests.
Scientists still don't know how much carbon dioxide is too much, or why ozone appears to be far harsher on trees. What they have now, they say, is just a snapshot, but it's clear enough to cause concern.
Now, one other thing that John Barr told us was that these researchers were reluctant to use the phrase that we've all become very familiar with, that of global warming, obviously because there's still so much controversy as to whether or not that's what's actually happening, that the whole globe is indeed warming. So they say a better alternative is to use the phrase global change.
It's interesting how work like this, it may seem limited in its scope, and yet forms the building blocks for really figuring out what is happening on a global basis.
Absolutely.
Important work. Some of the best we've heard of around here.